Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to you, whether by many or by few, coming alone or coming with others. It's coming to you and praying is such a blessing that you have allowed us and the access purchased by your blood. Lord, as we go back to the beginning of the Bible today to go through it again and just to glean from the prayers in the Bible, teach us, Lord, and lead us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning, and actually we have in Genesis 3 the fall of man with Eve being deceived by Satan and eating of the tree of the forbidden fruit and then giving some to Adam who willingly ate. Sin entered the world and death through sin. And then we have the very first dialogue between man and God recorded in the Bible. We've had the Lord speaking to Adam earlier before this, telling him not to eat of that tree. But I believe this is the first dialogue where we have between God and man. And I think there's so much to learn because I think basically that is what prayer is, should be a dialogue between us and the Father. And we'll see it really is a kind of a one-on-one. It is you praying to the Father and receiving from the Father and recognizing that the Father always begins the prayer. Interestingly enough, you may think you always begin it, but that's not true. He always begins it and you're always responding to him in that way if you pray. So let's begin by just singing Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Sweet Hour.
So after the fall, we see some significant change in the relationship between Adam and the Lord and Eve and the Lord. And in verse 7 we read, after the sin of eating the fruit, she also gave to her husband with her and he ate in verse 6 and then verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. We'll notice a beautiful thing that happens through prayer in this account. It's a restoration of the relationship to a degree between man and God. And this is what happens to us. Sin separates us from God, and it's so effective in separating us from God, we want to hide from Him. Because everything you see you doing and I do all comes basically from Adam and from day one. Really, nothing has really changed. And so here, we're in the cool of the day. We had read earlier that Adam would be communing with the Lord. Now, he and Eve are hiding themselves from the presence of the Lord God in the trees of the garden. And three questions here now that God asks Adam and Eve. The first one is to Adam. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" I wish we had that on video, that we could hear God's voice. I do believe it's a loving father, saddened by his wayward child. Where are you? I think that is such a significant question for all of us today, this morning, and really all the time, really. Where are you? Where are you in your relationship with God right now? Where are you with regard to being filled with the Holy Spirit? Where are you in your prayer life? Where are you in your loving the Word and in being in the Word? Where are you in worshiping and praising Him? What is your health with regard to your relationship with God? Where are you? That's the question that God asks Adam in this dialogue. Adam responds. And see if you find yourself responding this way after you sin. "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Second question, God says, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat?" God never told Adam he was naked. So there's just a great application here for us. Frequently we get told by the other side things that we listen to. Maybe it's things of the world, or maybe it's things of the flesh, or maybe it's just Satan and his workers of iniquity speaking to you. But it's not from God. And you pay heed to that. Adam and Eve paid heed to this, that they were naked. Because God said, "I didn't tell you you were naked. Who have you been listening to?" And that is another great question. Who are you listening to this morning? Who are you listening to this period of your life, this week, this day? Now, Adam answers again in typical excuse form. And when you have an excuse, don't think you're the first one that's ever come up with it. Here's Adam's excuse. "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." So notice that subtle flipping around there. It's God's fault. It's God's fault that I sinned. Because, God, you gave me that woman and she made me do it. Have you ever made that excuse? Like, how many times today have you made that excuse already, really? But that's our human nature, isn't it? We don't want to admit it. We want to blame it on somebody else. It can't be me because I'm such a good person. You know, it must be somebody else made me do it, right? Or in this case, "The woman you gave me, she gave the tree and I ate." Now the Lord continues his questions. His third question now that we get is goes to Eve. "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?'" Now, for you women, you've got exactly the same excuse-prone nature that man has. It's human nature. It's not by sex. "The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" And probably that's true. But nevertheless, she was not told not to eat of that fruit. I don't know that we have a record of that by God. Adam was, and I'm sure he told her, because when we had this dialogue a little earlier in the chapter, the woman said to serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. So she's telling Satan earlier that she knew that they weren't supposed to eat of that tree. But she did, and now she says, it was the serpent deceived me, and I ate. But also, we notice three words in here in both verses 12 and 13. In verse 12, when the man said it was the woman, he does admit the sin because he said, and I ate. And then the woman, the same thing. In verse 13, the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and what? And I ate. I think there's another application for us right there. We need to admit our sin to the Lord. We don't want to gloss over it. You know, well, it really wasn't really a sin, Lord, but I recognize my attitude wasn't quite right. No, it's a sin. Call it what it is. And when then they both acknowledge their sin, we see now the questioning is over, and God turns really to a defense attorney, in a sense, for us. And now he goes to the serpent, and he tells the serpent he's going to be cursed and so forth. So we have in this dialogue here a number of things just to summarize. Through prayer, God has brought man through kind of a painful experience with him in admitting his guilt, but he's able to restore man, and he forgave him. And of course, the rest of the story here, which I didn't mention, is that he made them tunics of skin, right? He covered them with the blood. That's the first covering of blood that we have in the Scripture. The very first mention of sin in the Scripture and death through sin, and it was covered by the Lord. So the Lord forgave them and covered their sin. But unless that dialogue goes on there, you stay hidden. And you stay either under the burden of guilt or under the burden of just not feeling you deserve God at all, and we don't. But yet he will prompt us, as he said here, where are you? And then what have you done? Or who have you listened to? So we want to listen to him and to his Spirit and to our Lord Jesus and not to the other side. Prayer is a conversation. It should be direct between you and God himself. Group prayer is great, but the best prayer, the very best prayer, I believe, is one-on-one. I think it's just you with God. God speaking to you, you speaking to God. And he'll speak to all of us together. We know that. And group prayer is great. But the situation here, it was really pretty much a one-on-one thing. Of course, there weren't that many people around those days where there was just Adam and Eve. But nevertheless, he spoke to Adam individually, and then he speaks to Eve individually, and then he actually even speaks to the serpent. So restoration is made after the acknowledgement of the sin. Confession, repentance, forgiveness. That's very, very important. And when we are telling people about the Lord and sharing the gospel, we want to make sure that we include that need to see that we recognize our sin, that we're sinners, and we want to repent of those sins, confess of those sins, and ask for forgiveness of those sins. Because without repentance, there is no salvation, I don't believe. So this is the first dialogue in the scriptures that we have, and it is very encouraging because it's something that we can all relate to day in and day out. So prayer brings us back into this relationship with the Lord, and even though we hide, as I mentioned, God really refuses to let us go, and he calls us out gently to deal with our infirmities and to find a place of cleansing and forgiveness and restoration. Father, we thank you for this dialogue in Genesis 3. We thank you for you restoring us to you. We thank you for the great restoration of your Son and the gift of grace, whereby sin, past, present, and future, for all people, all time, has been paid. That reconciliation has been made, and that gift is available to everyone. Today, Lord, I pray many will receive that gift, and we would pray in accordance with the desire to see that done this morning. We want to pray for the body of Christ. We want to pray for this nation. We want to pray for really all the kings and rulers in authority, for the fear of you in their eyes. And then as you would just lead us to pray, in something that's fitting for the group, and then later we'll pray individually in groups of two for personal things. And so, Lord, lead us now in this time of prayer by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.